You may be seated. Well, at this point, it should be no surprise that our gospel lesson this morning is from Matthew. We'll hear chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Hear the word of God. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me, and if anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And the disciples went and did as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "Well, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There you go. That's for you, Brian. Citizens, citizens of the Leaf Nation are preparing to find their places along an imminent parade route. Right? The banners, the flags, and the big blue foam fingers touting number one status are emerging from dusty closets under the winter shovels and burlap shrubbery covers. There's a rumbling in the kingdom, something wafting on the warm spring breezes, garnering a clarion whistle about the open mouth of a holy grail, Lord Stanley's cup. Now, some of you can relate to the inner hope and the eager anticipation of a long-awaited victory, triumph, and restored divinely chosen status of a people who have been exiled and found themselves under foreign domination since 1967. Now, others of you at least understand what it means to have waited for the end of a confining cold winter that would not let go. You who expected to dance and sing at winter's demise in sun-drenched air on warm, supple ground, only to hear of impending snow flurries. And just as my eager anticipation of assured victories and sure confidence of better days have been snatched away in seasons past by deep disappointment and dark demise, the festivities of expectant pilgrims on that first Palm Sunday were equally short-lived and just as bewildering. Anticipating hearts paraded in hopeful expectation of the long-awaited reign of the promised Messiah, the son of David. Hosanna was their cry. Save us was their entreaty to the one who would deliver them from their Roman oppressors and grant them a prosperous and dignified citizenship in God's invincible kingdom. Amid the pomp and pageantry and the raucous revelry, Jesus entered Jerusalem. Jesus, the carpenter, the teacher, wonder and miracle worker, prophet, popular personality, to most a stranger, rode upon the back of a donkey, gazing upon the throngs of singing and celebrating and dancing people. But Jesus rode amid the fanfare, very much alone. Who is this? Was the question of his own people. The crowds, the eager petitioning pilgrims responded, "Oh, him? Oh, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth, you know, in Galilee." So the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee rode into the city on a donkey, not a war horse under waving palm branches, he rode under waving palm branches and not waving spears, with the accolades of children, not the shouts of soldiers. This was not the post-victory party many were expecting. This was a lonesome road to the cross. He would be escorted to a cross, not a throne. He would be crowned in thorns, not gold. What began with hope would end in despair. What began as a coronation ended in a crucifixion. What could have been Jerusalem's finest hour turned into her final hour. All were looking forward to their showers of blessing, but there was a different kind of rain on this parade. It was both less than and more than anyone expected. There were no political ambitions, no military ambitions. While the people anticipated a Davidic king who would restore Jerusalem and her people to their glorious splendor as in the past, Jesus had no interest in driving out the Romans. He was no bare-chested, steed-riding Putin entering Crimea with an insatiable hunger for Ukraine and more. Jesus had no interest in making Israel a power to be reckoned with. The lonely man of sorrows came to Jerusalem like a sheep to the slaughter. His mission was more than anyone had bargained for. The restoration he came to bring was the healing of the whole of creation. He came to restore and heal the relationship between God and us. His ambition was to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. This king who came as a suffering servant. Say. Sense the sorrow untold as you look down the road at the clamoring crowd drawing near. Feel the heat of the day as you look down the way. Hear the shouts of Hosanna the King. Oh, daughter of Zion, your time's drawing near. Don't forsake him, oh, don't pass it by. On the foal of a donkey, as the prophets had said, passing by you, he rides on to die. Come now, little foal, though you're not very old, come and bear your first burden bravely. Walk so softly upon all the coats and the palms, bear the one on your back, oh, so gently. Midst the shouting so loud and the joy of the crowd, there is one who is riding in silence. For he knows the ones here will be fleeing in fear when their shepherd is taken away. Oh, daughter of Zion, your time's drawing near. Don't forsake him, oh, don't pass it by. On the foal of a donkey, as the prophets had said, passing by you, he rides on to die. Soon the thorn-cursed ground will bring forth a crown, and this Jesus will seem to be beaten. But he'll conquer alone, both the shroud and the stone, and the prophecies will be completed. Oh, daughter of Zion, your time's drawing near. Don't forsake him, oh, don't pass it by. On the foal of a donkey, as the prophet said, passing by you, he rides on to die. On the foal of a donkey, as the prophet said, passing by you, he rides on to die. Some triumphal entry, eh? It was anything but triumphant. The revelry quickly soured as Jesus entered the temple. Jerusalem was largely indifferent because of its watered-down beliefs and half-truths. It appears the only genuine welcome came from those who recognize their need of a Savior. In verses 14 to 16, just a couple of verses further in Matthew's Gospel, it is the blind and the lame who come to him, while the lips of children proclaim him king. And then he departs with his disciples to Bethany, And he hears how devoted and committed his followers are, only to be denied, ridiculed, harassed, charged, and beaten, abandoned, and killed. Some kingly welcome. Hosanna, save us, is a common cry. God, if you get me through this, I promise. Deliver us, free us, and make us alive again. And how easily we join the human procession of choristers wishing away all that ails us, enslaves us, and robs us of life. How quickly we look up when the earth trembles and cracks, and the wave crests, and the mud slides, and the bomb drops, and the child disappears, when the job is lost, and the door is locked, and the prognosis is positive, when the enemy prevails. We all cry out, looking to Jesus to make all our troubles disappear, to work some real magic, to make us successful and give us what we think we need. Are we looking for the prophet to offer a word of advice, the good man with whom we can associate, the great teacher who will help us pass the grade? Or do we really want a savior? Like the pilgrim procession we observe in our gospel lesson, we're all eager to be saved from something. But we stop short of welcoming the opportunity to be saved to something. Friend, when the living Christ meets you on your way, and he will meet you when you call on his name, who will you see? Will he be your Savior and Victor, your Lord and King? Or will he be some idealistic, smooth-talking failure? Like the crowds, we may cry out, Hosanna, save us, and plead, Jesus, be my Savior, and then pay lip service to the claim that he is our Lord. When Jesus heeds our cry to save us, is the effect of the movement simply a posturing palm procession? Or is the culmination a truly triumphant entry into our hearts? Friends, remember and know that it's only in retrospect, following the resurrection of the King of Kings, that the event of Palm Sunday could even be interpreted as triumphant. It is only when we have been saved from something and to something that we really fully experience Christ's lordship and reign. Where our daily prayer is, Lord, your will and your way. Not my will, not my way. Friends, Jesus has come to us to be more than just our Savior. He came to reside and abide and make his home in our hearts. He has come to lead us into fullness of life as our Lord and King. So then, let us carefully consider and not take lightly the words that roll so easily off our tongues. Jesus is Lord. Remembering that Jesus himself cautioned, Matthew 7, verse 21, that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Friend, let the procession of Jesus go the distance to its appointed end, the possession of your receptive and yielding heart. Let's bring our lives to God in prayer. God, our hearts are open and receptive to the welcome intrusion of your Son, and it is our desire to proceed into tomorrow equipped, eager, and ready to offer ourselves to the furtherance of your cause, to share your redeeming love, and to faithfully represent your Son. But as persistent as our desires are, they can get suddenly rocked by explosive turmoil without and within, and knock us off balance. It seems to come right out of nowhere and finds us running for cover and self-protection. God, we call out to you today. Hosanna, save us. Find us amid the debris and shambles of our brokenness and dismay. Speak to us your voice of calm and draw near with your reassuring touch and embrace. God, in this moment of calm, we now silently lift up to you those folks on our minds and in our hearts who need your healing peace today. God, when the varied stresses of life combine to overwhelm us, enable us to set our priorities and to get back on a steady course and rest in your care. When the encouragement of family and the support of friends fails us, give us confidence to search out other sources of help. When calamity hits home in our faith community, please provide us with the endurance we need and the hope of better days ahead, days of healing, restoration, and resurrection. God, we pray that your provisions would strengthen us and sustain those who are working hard to bring order to the chaos. Empower us all with patience and perseverance to move in the faithful pattern of Jesus in the coming days. In Christ, may the fear and the panic melt away and be replaced by a firm resolve to move undaunted through the inevitable spaces of despair and struggle and grief. Help us to traverse through unavoidable zones of ill will, quarrels, and conflict, to experience your peace which passes all understanding. And when the going gets tough, please know our desire is to keep going in your will and way. In the name of Jesus, who's nourishing and sustaining body and blood, will empower us for the way, we pray. Amen.